You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship with the Archdiocese.
And I'm Danielle Knott from Liturgy Training Publications, also of the Archdiocese.
We are here every fourth Wednesday of the month, and the focus of our show is to unpack, look at, talk about, discuss the liturgical life, the ritual life, the corporate, communal, public prayer life of our tradition, of our faith.
And for the past several months, we've been talking about the official ritual prayer book that we use for the celebration of the Mass, which is the Roman Missal, or what we have been calling the Sacramentary, and that has been newly translated into English, and we have been talking about the changes that will occur in the words of the Mass. The Mass isn't changing, it's just the text of the Mass that will be a little bit different, and that will be implemented in about 6 months, November 27th, which is the first Sunday of Advent. And as we have been going through the Missal, we've been traveling through the introductory rites and the Liturgy of the Word and the Liturgy of the Eucharist, and we will be continuing with that today and looking at the communion rite and most likely the concluding rites of the Mass.
So today we will finish going through the order of Mass as mm-hmm. it's posted on the USCCB website, mm-hmm. usccb.org/Roman Missal. The texts themselves, as we've been seeing, are full of images and phrases that if we can get people to unpack those images and those phrases, if we can lead our people to make connections around these prayers, mm-hmm. then the reception of this text really. That's what reception means, mm-hmm. right? I mean, mm-hmm. to really take these texts into our hearts and into our souls. I mean, we know the current text so well. I mean, mm-hmm. many of us during the Eucharistic prayer, we pray it in our minds mm-hmm. along with the priest. We know them by heart.
Right.
Certainly, the priests are like that. Mm-hmm. They know these prayers; they're in their bones. And I don't just mean that they know them by rote, mm-hmm. you know that they mm-hmm. just that they can rattle them off, mm-hmm. but they know them in their heart. They
right.
really pray these texts,
right.
And that's of course the aim of receiving this new English translation of the third edition of the Roman
right.
Missal.
It's not just about learning the words, which are important because learning the words will help us participate in the Mass, but unpacking these phrases and all of the changes in the text will help us understand the liturgy a bit better.
And live the liturgy.
Mm-hmm. The change is always an opportunity to relearn and to allow it to penetrate our hearts a little bit more deeply.
And certainly that's been our attempt mm-hmm. in walking through these texts. And maybe just for the listeners who might have missed a show or two, these shows on the Roman Missal are podcast.
Mm-hmm.
They are available. On the website of the Archdiocese for the Office of Radio and Communications. LTP and ODW both have links to those podcasts.
Exactly. If you go to our website, which is www.romanmissal.org or odw.org, they're both posted mm-hmm. online. So you can access. As Todd mentioned earlier, these texts are available on the USCCB website. If you click on usccb.org/Roman Missal, there's a little link that's called sample texts. And if you scroll down, there's various texts from the new translation that are available. And one of them is the Order of Mass. It's a PDF. So if you want to access that on your computers now as we're going through these texts, We're going to
follow along at home
with the communion rite. So
it's the at-home version of Focus on the Liturgy.
Yes, but before, they're available.
Yeah, and you'll have a little bit of time before that, because before jumping into the communion rite in the concluding rite, we do want to talk just a little bit about where we are in our liturgical life. Here in the fifth Sunday, or the fifth week of Easter.
Yes.
Midway through the Easter
almost
season.
Done. I can't believe how quickly this has gone.
I know. Pentecost is right around the corner.
June is
right around the corner.
Mm-hmm. And we haven't had any. The warm weather is around the corner.
Yeah, on this rainy Wednesday morning here in Chicago, in the Chicagoland area. But yeah, we are in the second half of the season,
mm-hmm.
And so the Alleluias continue.
Yes, they do.
The lilies continue.
They
the
do.
Paschal candle burning brightly in the sanctuary by the ambo.
Mm-hmm.
That remains. Around this time, we always kind of laugh, because around this time, I think those who are intimately involved in preparing and then celebrating the liturgy, around about this time, people can get a little tired of, okay, the sprinkling rite again. Yes, the sprinkling rite again. The sprinkling rite through on every Sunday of this season, which keeps us connected to that great celebration of baptism. And the renewal of baptism at the Easter Vigil.
Yes, the interesting thing about that sprinkling rite, it replaces the penitential act. So you have that glorious, joyful feeling throughout the season of Easter, that renewal of baptismal promises every Sunday.
Yeah, and it continues to remind us of what these seasons
mm-hmm.
are all about.
Mm-hmm.
Lent is a season to prepare to renew our baptism.
Right.
Easter is the season to revel mm-hmm. in the renewal mm-hmm. of our baptism.
Absolutely.
And all that's behind that. I mean, it's not just it's not just a renewal of my baptism. It's not just this in a sense,
mm-hmm.
but it's this. It's everything that we say we believe baptism does for
right.
us.
Right. And you know, when we're baptized as Christians, we're marked with the sign of Christ, yes, as an individual, but we're also baptized into the community of the faithful.
Into the body mm-hmm. of Christ, the baptized members. I mean, so it's the season of Easter is a celebration of what Christ does through our baptism, incorporates us into the Paschal mystery,
right.
into his
right.
death and resurrection.
Right.
I mean, for the whole Easter season, it's, you know, the echoing of Paul in that Romans reading from the...
I love that reading.
I do too, from the vigil. Are you not aware that we who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death?
Right.
So that just as he was raised by the glory of the Father, so we too might be raised to new life. That's what memory.
I am impressed.
He's just rattling that off.
There's no Bible in front of him right now.
That's just a wonder. I mean, that's such a foundational and reading piece of scripture for our understanding of baptism.
It is.
Christ has incorporated us through this sacrament into his death and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's the focus of this season. The new life that comes, the conquering of everything that threatens to keep us from Christ through this whole season.
We die with him so we may rise with him.
And it's that stuff that you love, Danielle. It's the regeneration of creation.
Yes, exactly.
In the Paschal mystery.
Exactly.
That's the season.
Exactly.
So how can you get tired of that by the fifth?
It's the restoration of the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How can you get tired of that by the fifth Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Our seasons, particularly the celebratory seasons of Easter or Christmas,
mm-hmm.
The season itself is peppered with other kind of observances and celebrations. I think that can help keep us focused.
Oh, sure.
You know,
sure.
It is. This is the longest non-ordinary time season, right?
Mm-hmm.
50 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We say that it's 7 weeks of celebrating Easter
mm-hmm.
Sunday. You know, seven weeks of Easter Sunday in a sense.
And there's different progressions. I mean, the first week of Easter is really the celebration of Easter Sunday. For 8 days, we have the octave, which concludes on the second Sunday of Easter, and then coming up to Ascension,
which is just a week from this coming Sunday.
Exactly, and then ending with Pentecost.
And we'll
pick up on that
when we come back from this break. So stay with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. We'll be right back for more Focus on the Liturgy after these messages.
Join the movement to run in the 2011 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 9th, as a pledge runner for Team Catholic Charities. The race is sold out, but we have post-close entries for you or someone you know. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or to join the committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon, and we'll see you at the finish line.
Memorial Day is a day of remembrance for those who have died in the service of our country and for all those we wish to honor in a special way. Begin your observance of Memorial Day by attending one of the field masses being celebrated at most of the 44 Catholic cemeteries in Cook and Lake counties. For times and locations of these field masses, go to www.catholiccemeterieschicago.org. Celebrate your memories at a Catholic cemetery's field mass.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
We're talking in this first portion of our show, we're talking about where we are in the Easter season, the fifth week of this great seven-week celebration, well into the second half. Before that last break, Danielle, you had just mentioned that the festive seasons in our liturgical calendar, they really are. They're peppered with, mm-hmm. you know, other observances and celebrations that within the context of Easter, for mm-hmm. example, mm-hmm. You know, they kind of keep us going. They're all the continual unfolding of the mystery of Christ right. that we're celebrating in this season, obviously the death and resurrection of Christ.
Exactly. And coming up now, traditionally, Ascension is celebrated on the 40th day of Easter, the Thursday, Ascension Thursday. But as we were talking in the break, often people have questions about when Ascension is celebrated because
we get calls in Chicago in our office every year.
Because in some dioceses it's transferred to the seventh Sunday of Easter, and that's when it's celebrated in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And before the break, or during the break, Todd and I were talking about this, and that was actually decided back in 1998 by the bishops.
Of this country, the United States.
And there are still some dioceses, there's actually fewer dioceses that still celebrate it on the traditional Thursday, but one of the reasons why it was transferred to Sunday is so that because of the importance of that solemnity of the Ascension as part of the unfolding of the Paschal mystery, that it's important that people do come to Mass on that day. Mm-hmm. So by celebrating it on a Sunday,
more people are able to observe it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In 1998, what the Conference of Bishops in our country did is they gave each province the opportunity to make that decision. So mm-hmm. it's not just the Archdiocese of Chicago, but it's all the dioceses in the province of Chicago, which is the state of Illinois.
Oh, okay.
And really the majority of provinces across this country, which for the most part are state, the boundaries are state, but not all.
Okay.
The most provinces chose the Sunday. Mm-hmm. There are some provinces out west, I think primarily is where they are, and the few in the east mm-hmm. that chose to keep Ascension on the Thursday of the sixth week. Mm-hmm. But they're the minority by mm-hmm. far in this country. And so for the listeners, yeah, Ascension is indefinitely moved. It's not decided each year.
Right.
Because sometimes people will call and say, where did we decide to do it this year?
Right.
As if as if we're in the back room saying, where should it go this year? On Thursday or on the Sunday? No. It's been moved indefinitely in the whole state of Illinois, all of the dioceses, and our neighboring dioceses and states as well, to the seventh Sunday.
Right.
And on that day, you know, the unfolding, the liturgical, the document that governs the liturgical calendar, the norms for the liturgical norms for the seasons and liturgical calendar.
Well, actually, the title of that actually recently changed with the translation of the Missal. That document was actually translated, and it's the excuse me, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but it used to be the general norms for the liturgical year and the calendar.
That's right.
It's now the universal norms for the general Roman calendar, I believe.
Okay.
Anyway, it has been retranslated. Very minor changes. And it's in the Roman Missal itself. It's not just the prayer text. The very beginning of the book has the calendars for the universal church.
The germ.
The general instruction of the Roman Missal, and also this document that we're just referring to. So that's all the introductory matter that's in the Missal.
Yeah, and it's the document that directs and governs the celebration of the liturgical year. And in that, talks about how throughout the course of the year, our observances, our liturgical observances, unfold the mystery of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this example, celebrating the solemnity of the Ascension, that's part of the Paschal mystery.
Right.
That's part of our observance of the mystery of Christ.
So practically, when this is when it's transferred to the seventh Sunday of Easter, all of the prayer texts that you use, all of the lectionary readings that you use, are for the celebration of the Ascension.
Right.
So there is no option of, we're going to celebrate the Ascension, maybe we can do the seventh Sunday of Easter readings or prayers. No, it's all for the Ascension.
And that, I think that's appropriate, because those texts are what help us unpack this mystery.
I mean,
you know, it's not just that, and it points to just a number of, it's not just that Christ died, you know, suffered death, as we'll say in the creed. It's not just that, you know, the power, the glory of the Father raised him to new life. It's not just that, but that he was then, he ascended into heaven, ascended to the right hand of the Father.
Right.
That sonship, that second, you know, the second person of the Trinity, you know, to be Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, King of all creation.
I think in general language, when we often talk about the Paschal mystery, we generally seem to talk about the Passion, Death, and Resurrection. But are there are two components, I think, that are missing there. It's the life, the Passion, Death, Resurrection, and Ascension.
And the Ascension
into
glory.
And then the Pentecost, the sending of the Spirit.
And it doesn't end there, you know, because later in the year, when we do celebrate our Lord, the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of creation, it is the return of Christ in glory, the promised return.
Exactly.
That completes the Paschal mystery.
And it's
that
circular.
Will complete. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So on Sunday, this is the continuing revelation of the mystery of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, as we celebrate his ascension.
Yes.
And all that goes along with that, the great proclamation of the Ascension, the account of the Ascension, which it wasn't just the gospel account of Christ ascending, but Christ missioning, right? I mean, the Ascension wasn't just, I love that Lucan account. Mm-hmm. Oh, the angel comes after he's ascended, and you just picture the apostles, a slack-jawed, you know? Standing in awe, their, you know, crumpled faces with their mouths open, and the angel going, "What are you looking at?" Didn't you hear him? He said, "Go." He said, "Go."
Oh, but I love that missioning.
Yes, Christ's ascension is
important.
Our mission.
Mm-hmm. It's not over.
Yep, go then,
and do likewise.
Yep, exactly. We're going to pick it up there. We'll finish the Easter season when we come back from this break and continue on looking at the texts of
the Missal.
English edition, the English translation of the Roman Missal. So stay with us here on Focus on the Liturgy. We'll be back after these messages.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Do you need to train leaders and educate your assembly about the new words we will soon hear and say at Mass? Mystical Body, Mystical Voice DVD and Formation Program is a proven resource that gives church professionals tools with which to teach about the liturgy and about the new words of the Revised Roman Missal. Not only will this program help ease the transition to using the new Mass texts, but it will open the eyes of your assembly to the riches of the liturgy. Advent 2011 is fast approaching. To prepare your parish and provide them with an opportunity for ongoing faith and liturgical formation, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org. That's 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
We are talking, finishing up, just looking at the Easter season and trying to keep ourselves on schedule. We were just laughing during the break. We meant to be finished with Easter in that last segment so we could get into the Roman Missal. But typically, Danielle and I start talking about something on liturgy. And
we keep going.
So ending with the celebration of the Ascension, we said. And really then just one week later. One final thing about the Ascension.
Yes.
Leave the Paschal candle.
Oh, yeah.
Don't take the Paschal candle away.
Take it away until Pentecost.
Yeah, there used to be this tradition on the Solemnity of Ascension that since Christ is ascended and no longer on earth, well, people would take the Paschal candle away.
Leave it for the full 50 days. There should be nothing in our norms, nothing in our directives
that talk about removing the Paschal candle on Ascension. We're not recreating. We're not creating a play.
Right.
You know, we're not recreating a dramatization of what happened.
Right.
That's not what our liturgies are about.
And keep it going. Actually, just because the final Mass is concluded on Pentecost doesn't mean you can take it away either. Because officially, the Easter season doesn't conclude until evening prayer on Easter or on Pentecost Sunday is over. And often there's a tradition of then removing the Paschal candle after that.
And even removing is a little bit misleading because you don't remove
it, you just move it from the sanctuary
from near the ambo
to the baptismal font
to where it remains for the rest of the year, the baptismal font, and then
it's there
by the baptismal font it greets all of the caskets that are brought into the parish for a Christian burial.
Yes.
There at the baptismal font, it stands as a sanctuary over the infant baptisms that are celebrated throughout the whole rest of the year in your parishes.
During the month of All Souls, the photographs that people bring in are often placed around that in the font.
So it's moved from. But not until Pentecost.
Yes,
which
we're going to talk about now.
The week later.
The 50 days of Easter, as we said, concludes with the Solemnity of Pentecost. And Pentecost has its own vigil, Mass assigned to the day. So there's separate readings for the vigil. There's separate readings for mastering the day.
Yep.
And one of the cool things, actually, with the new Missal translation is the option to have an extended vigil that models closely to the Easter vigil, not in terms of the length of the amount of
readings.
But it's
an extended liturgy of the word?
Mm-hmm, exactly. And so there's a reading and a psalm, and I believe a collect prayer that follows the psalm, if I'm not mistaken.
It really does mirror the Easter vigil. But look at the readings that can be part of that extended vigil of Pentecost. There are all these fantastic readings about the power of the Spirit.
Right.
You know, from Joel, the Spirit of the Lord will experience, and your old men will have visions, and your young men will dream dreams.
Right.
And it's all of these
dry bones.
Yeah, the dry bones of Ezekiel. The wonderful story of the Tower of Babel. All of these scripture readings that, in a sense, you know, in a sense, speak about and celebrate the power of the Spirit.
Right, and I think what they ended up doing with this, before there were options of doing one or the other. I think there were four, and now with the extended vigil, it's, you know, you do all of those readings. And that really is a wonderful option and a wonderful addition to the new Missal, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, ironic, in this sense, the Roman Missal coming third edition, that happens a couple of times.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Ascension has a vigil now, an Epiphany.
An Epiphany, mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So it's not just the addition of a vigil for Pentecost.
Now, let me ask you this question. Don't mean to catch you off guard, and if you don't know the answer, that's fine.
I'll comment on the weather.
Are there readings assigned for those vigils, or do you do the readings of the day?
As far as I know, there are readings assigned. Different readings for those vigils
and
as well.
And they are currently in the lectionary or not?
No, they would be.
They
for
would be.
Yeah, so even
for the new vigils?
For Pentecost, you're directed their readings that are actually in the lectionary for Masses of the Holy Spirit.
That I knew, but
and
for
Epiphany
for
would
Epiphany?
Be for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're already
they're
in the
there.
Lectionary.
Okay.
There's no change to the lectionary.
Well, I knew that. I wasn't sure if they were already assigned or where they
were. Yeah, they're already existing in those lectionaries.
Good to know.
But the celebration, the 50-day celebration of Easter does conclude with Pentecost. Again, this is part of the Paschal mystery. Mm-hmm. It's not separate from, it is connected. It is one of the mysteries of Christ, the sending of the Spirit, the Father. In the Paschal mystery of Christ, the glory of the Father raises the second person, Christ, from physical death, and sends the Spirit. It's not separate. You know, it's all part of this mystery of Christ that we're celebrating through these 50 days. Just like the Ascension is a part of it, so too is the sending of the Spirit.
Yeah, and just
and the birth of the church and all of that.
Yeah, yeah, it's traditionally referred to as the birthday of the church. And, you know, the colors are going to change this day.
Mm-hmm.
Shades of red are going to be used, red vestments. And so we move from white and gold and maybe a little bit of silver to ending the season with the tongues of fire. Vibrant colors, and we end on a very high note.
Oh my gosh!
For the Easter season.
Yeah, and in a sense, it's Pentecost is the so what observance of Easter, in a sense. Don't you think? It's the so what. It's so what Christ died and rose from the dead. So what I've been incorporated into that through my baptism. Mm-hmm. So what? Mm-hmm. Well, the so what is the Pentecost account through your baptism, then conquers all fear, that conquers all anxiety, that conquers all reticence, that conquers everything that keeps us from proclaiming our faith.
Right.
You know, the birthday of the church, and Paul the VI said this in Ad Gentes. It's the you're looking at me like, where is he going with this? The church exists to evangelize.
Uh-huh.
That's the identity of the church. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, it's the celebration of the birth of the church. Then that means the birth of the church's mission.
Well, that renewal of baptismal promises is what calls us to that mission.
Exactly.
And keep that sprinkling rite going, even on Pentecost.
It's integral. The only way we can mission is because of our baptism.
Yes, exactly.
That's the only way we can announce the gospel of the Lord. That's the only way we can glorify the Lord by our lives. It's a segue.
Well, I do want to note that there is an addition to the Liturgy of the Word. On Pentecost, it's one of the 2 days that are that we're required to do the sequence. So the Come Holy Spirit, the Veni Sancte Spiritus, precedes the gospel. So it's important that we do that.
An ancient song.
It's an ancient text, and it's beautiful.
Yep, Come Holy
beautiful
Spirit.
Yeah. Come Father of the Poor.
Oh my gosh, Come Counselor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so parishes, make sure and sing that with gusto. Mm-hmm. Stay with us for the second half of Focus on the Liturgy, where we'll be continuing our discussion on the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. We'll be right back with that after these messages.
Catholic Charities' Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship.
And I'm Danielle Knott from Liturgy Training Publications.
In the second half of the show, we continue our reading of and unpacking of and discussion about the coming English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. Mm-hmm. As you noted at the beginning, scheduled for implementation on the 26th and 27th of November of this year.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the 26th. We keep talking about the 27th, but we're forgetting the massive anticipation on Saturday night.
Yeah.
So that's really, it's the text and prayers of the first Sunday of Advent. So that evening on that Saturday is the official implementation.
Yep. Where we ended last month was with the Eucharistic prayer.
Yes.
We concluded that portion of the order of Mass. And so the next piece of the liturgy is the communion rite.
Mm-hmm, which concludes the liturgy of the Eucharist.
Right.
And the communion rite consists of the Our Father, the sign of peace, the invitation to in the Lamb of God, an invitation to Holy Communion, and the reception of Holy Communion, and then the prayer. prayer after communion.
And so that portion begins with the priest's invitation to the Our Father, which is actually a minor revision of one of the options we have now.
Mm-hmm. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say,
Our Father. Yep.
And the Our Father has not changed
yes.
at all.
Yep.
So the words that are changing are the prayers of the priest, but what we'll say with the Our Father will not change.
Right. The words of that prayer itself. I like that invitation. Some of the things that I think are in that, I love the we dare.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we dare to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's only through, even what we were talking about earlier, it's only through what Christ has done through our baptism that we dare mm-hmm. to call God Father.
You know, this suddenly reminds me of this image. It's often shown the angels covering their eyes in many church paintings, and it strikes me, a similarity to this, that we are so overcome with the presence of God. And we've talked about this before with the Gloria, that we praise you, we bless you,
yeah.
we glorify you, that Paul Turner has said that we're so overcome by that we babble.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
you know, we're overcome by the
there's
the
not
presence
enough words
of God,
to describe
you
know, what we're
that,
doing.
Of God's glory, that we're in his presence, and so we dare to say this prayer.
Yeah, yeah. And dare to call the creator of the whole universe,
mm-hmm.
the creator of everything
our
that is.
Our Father.
Exactly. And the only way we can do that is because we have been baptized into the
yes.
image of the beloved Son.
Yes. Yes.
Who throughout his whole earthly
yes.
Life called upon Abba.
Yes.
That's the only way we can
mm-hmm.
do that is
because
we have been conformed to Christ.
Right, and adopted as sons and daughters of God through
yep.
that baptism.
Yep, exactly. And that gives and we give voice to that in this prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that invitation at the Savior's command. He commanded us, huh, to in that sense to see our relationship
mm-hmm.
to the divine
mm-hmm.
as a relationship between beloved child and
mm-hmm.
and loving
mm-hmm.
loving Father.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the whole liturgical body prays the Our Father, and then afterwards the priest continues, deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
This prayer is called the embolism, which means an insertion. So this prayer is inserted between the majority of the Our Father and then the doxology for the kingdom and the power and the glory, and that's what that means. But there's some really rich
oh my gosh, yeah.
imagery in this.
What strikes you? There's a couple of things that strike me right away.
Well, the one thing that I think many people will pick on is the line, as we await the blessed hope,
yeah, that's,
versus
yes.
we wait in joyful hope. And there's a whole shift here.
Yeah.
And yes, we are waiting the joyful hope, but the blessed hope is Christ. For what we are waiting for is Christ. So then the translation shifts in the syntax and the grammar and the wording specifically, so that it's very clear that what we're waiting for is Christ, and Christ is the blessed hope. And I can't remember the scripture passage. Oh, it's right here. I'm sorry. There's a footnote here. It's Titus. So this is very more of a clear connection with scripture, but that imagery, that phrase is directed specifically to about Christ and who we are waiting for.
About Christ and about his promised
mm-hmm,
return.
Exactly.
That is precisely one of the things that most strikes me as mm-hmm. well. And remember, just for the listeners, it's not that that this has been changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been like this in the Latin
yes.
text.
Yes.
It's that this English translation has uncovered, has
yes.
taken us to a deeper level
yes.
in the
yes.
Latin texts.
Yes.
You know, it takes us to the next level in this, you know, in this only 49-year old art of
right.
translating
right.
Latin liturgical texts into the vernacular.
Right. We've mentioned that before, and it's probably worth repeating. This is all very new to us. It's
oh, yeah.
40 years of English.
Yeah.
So it's going to evolve and grow and change.
40 years out of 17 or 1800
years of Latin. Yeah.
Exactly.
We'll pick up on this when we come back.
Stay with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM for more Focus on the Liturgy.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Are you ready for the upcoming changes in the words of the Mass? The revision of the Roman Missal brings innovations that will affect us all. Whether you are a teacher, catechist, priest, or parishioner, excellent resources are available to help you understand these changes in the words of the liturgy. For more information about how you can prepare yourself and your assembly, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit www.revisedromanmissal.org.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy. I am Danielle Nutt from Liturgy Training Publications.
I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship.
And you just heard a commercial on the break about the resources that are available about preparing our parishes for the Revised Roman Missal. And as you heard, there are several resources available from Liturgy Training Publications that will help you as an individual and also parish staff members learn about these changes, but also be able to teach members of the assembly and lead formation sessions about the changes. We're just about 6 months away from implementation. So if you haven't started thinking about this, now's really the time to see what's available, to schedule sessions with your staff members. It's important to reach your parish staff first and then go out
staff
and catechize.
Staff and councils.
Yeah.
You know, the parish council.
Yeah, the worship commission especially, all your liturgical ministers, members of the parish. Really, now's a really good time to start focusing on that because First Sunday of Advent's going to be here before we know it.
Also, other ways that folks can help can be other additional ways to prepare people. ODW, our office, is hosting upcoming workshops. We are going to, you can check out our website, odw.org, but workshops where musicians can come and read through the musical settings that are now available for the coming translation. They are reading music reading sessions. There are, I believe, three regionally scheduled around the Archdiocese. Check out our website. And also, later in the summer, we are going to be presenting regional workshops for priests and their musicians on chanting and singing the parts of the Mass. And finally, in late summer and early fall, we will be hosting in every vicariate around the Archdiocese just general information nights for any interested Catholic.
Very cool.
Where we will do exactly what we're doing
just
here,
break
Danielle.
It open.
Yep, breaking it open. Where we ended before that last break was with the invitation to the Our Father, and then the embolism that comes after. And there was one other thing that struck, again, both of us. We talked about it during the break.
Yeah, there's the phrase, and safe from all distress. And distress has changed. It was anxiety. And I think bears noting Paul Turner, who did some writing for us on the Missal, he makes the point that anxiety is more of a very specific internal emotion. It's one emotion out of many. Mm-hmm. Distress kind of assumes all of those problems that we have.
So and anxiety, fear,
depression,
discouragement.
Exactly. So that Christ delivers us from all those problems.
Not just anxiety.
Not just anxiety. It's a broader term.
Yeah, yeah. All of those things that threaten to keep us from him.
Exactly.
Yep. And from there then into the doxology that you, no change in
There's
that.
No change. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever.
And then after that, that's followed by the invitation to the sign of peace.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will.
Very few changes, except at the very end of that. I think it bears noting here, Danielle, and you and I have really held this approach throughout our whole reading of the Order of Mass. It's not just about new words. Mm-hmm. So here's an opportunity, to talk about a revised invitation to the sign of peace, but also the sign of peace itself. In many minds of Catholics, I think this is seen as kind of a meet and greet opportunity. And there is nothing wrong with that, except that's really not what this is. You know, this isn't the opportunity to turn and say hi to those around us. It's a ritual sharing of the peace of Christ.
Right.
And this is the perfect season to talk about this, because what are the very first words from the resurrected Christ?
Peace.
Peace be with you. This is the first gift, in one sense, of the resurrection. Peace is the first gift. And so this is the ritual sharing
exactly.
of that.
Exactly. And think about, this is the communion rite. And we're about to receive Holy Communion and the greatest sacrament of unity that we celebrate. And in this invitation for sharing the sign of Christ's peace and graciously grant her peace and unity. You know, we are acknowledging to each other, we're giving each other that sign of peace. And then as a community, we go forward, we profess forward to receive the body and blood of Christ, to take into ourselves Christ, that we become what we receive, that we are unified with each other.
We were just talking about in the embolism of the Our Father, the word distress, the peace that Christ gives in his resurrection is the very anecdote to any of that distress that we have just prayed that God save us from. So it's a switch. You know, there's nothing wrong with meeting and greeting. There's nothing wrong with saying hi to those around us. But I guess my point is that this isn't what that's about at this part in the liturgy. It's the ritual sharing of that peace of Christ given. And as you noted, then once that peace is ritually shared with those around us, then we go into the communion rite. And the great litany of the Lamb of God, no changes.
The Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. That's repeated again. And then we conclude with, grant us peace.
No
so
change
that image
in that.
Of peace again.
Yes, yeah.
Of mercy, peace.
Yep. Salvation from all distress. You know, that's the anecdote.
This is a litany, and it's addressed, obviously, the Lamb of God. It's addressed to Christ, which I think parallels the other litany in the liturgy that the penitential act, Form 3 or Form C, that they're all directed to Christ. It addresses some aspect of his Paschal mystery of what he's done. So, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
One of the few places in the Eucharistic liturgy that the prayer is addressed to Christ.
And again, back in the memorial acclamations, that's one of the reasons why Christ has died was eliminated, because it wasn't addressed to Christ, it was about Christ, whereas the other three are to Christ. And again, we have this here with the Lamb of God.
And that's where we'll pick up, bringing us to the conclusion of the English translation of the Roman Missal when we come back. So stick with us here on Relevant Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World. Or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Imagine spending a week in a beautiful lakeside setting where you can focus, reflect, pray, and learn more about the treasures of the Bible. This wonderful opportunity is available for all those who sign up for the annual Summer Scripture Seminar at the University of St. Mary of the Lake, Mundelein Seminary. Scholars from across the United States will help you explore the life-giving role the Bible plays in the liturgical life of the Church. This theme is timely as we await the implementation of the third edition of the Roman Missal in November. As always, Summer Scripture is guided by Vatican II's vision of Scripture as the soul of theology. The Summer Scripture Seminar will be held Sunday through Friday, June 19th to the 24th. Stay for the week or sign up for specific lectures. For details, call 847-837-4558 or go to www.summerscripture.org. The Summer Scripture Seminar offers spiritual renewal and inspiration with people who share your passion for the Word of the Lord. It's a great way to start the summer.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy, 9:50 a.m. on Relevant Radio. I am Danielle Knott from Liturgy Training Publications.
And I'm Todd Williamson with her.
And we are concluding the communion rite, and we moved from the Lamb of God, which we were talking about before the break. And following the Lamb of God, there are two options for a prayer that the priest will actually say quietly. Mm-hmm. But following that, we are then invited to receive Holy Communion.
Major differences mm-hmm. people will hear here yeah. in the invitation to communion.
I think this is the most significant change in the communion rite, and it needs a little time to be spent on this. But the priest will say, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb."
And the people will respond, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed."
This is one of the areas of the new translation that really clearly show the scriptural connections
that,
with the Mass translation.
That characteristic, right.
And understanding the scriptural connections to this will really help people understand, especially with the changes in the response, because the change, just looking at it as text isolated apart from the scripture, probably will be very confusing.
Makes no sense.
But understanding that scriptural background will clarify it.
Remember, we've said before, this is a major characteristic of this mm-hmm. coming English translation, that the scriptural quotes and the scriptural allusions of our prayer text, which we've had for centuries, mm-hmm. our prayers are literally filled with scripture. Mm-hmm. And this is an excellent example of that. For centuries, the church has taken scripture and put them on our lips as prayer.
Yeah.
here's an example.
Well, in the invitation with the Behold the Lamb of God and then Blessed are those called to the Supper of the Lamb are really two scriptural accounts that are merged together. And the first with the references to the Lamb of God and the sins of the world, that's John the Baptist.
That's a quote, quote, first
from
chapter
the Gospel
of John.
And that last phrase is from Revelation 19:9. And that quote is, "Then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who have been called to the wedding feast of the Lamb." This is one of those images that I love so much, the eschatological imagery in the Mass, that we are not isolated alone here on earth, that what we are doing is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet, and we are blessed are those who are called to that heavenly banquet. What we are doing here is what we will be doing in heaven.
Danielle, the response that the people give to the invitation falls right along those lines.
Yeah, it does.
Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. Obviously, save one word, a direct quote of scripture. Again, the church has taken the scriptures and put the scriptures on our lips in this liturgical prayer. That's the story of the centurion from Luke and Matthew. And it, in particular, it's in Matthew's gospel where it makes sense why we should be saying these words at this moment in the liturgy. It's Matthew 8, and it's the again the story of the centurion. And first of all, what does that confession of the centurion, what does that reveal in him?
He was a Gentile, does not feel worthy that Jesus should come into his home. And so, and because of that faith.
The faith, exactly. And look at what, that's the same faith we're being called to at this moment as we're presented with what? The Eucharist.
Only say the word and my soul shall be healed.
And then it's in the Matthean account where Jesus follows. This isn't in Luke. Jesus follows and says, nowhere in all of Israel have I seen such faith. All right, so we've already said that. We're called through the words of the centurion to that same faith. But then Jesus says, I tell you, many will come from the east and the west and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the heavenly banquet. And that's key to this part of the liturgy. The same heavenly banquet that Jesus referenced is what we're being invited to at this moment. So it makes perfect sense to put the words of the centurion on our lips. In some ways, where we the translation we have now, I'll always look, what is the focus? Lord, I am not worthy to receive you. The focus is our unworthiness.
Yes.
In here, the focus is the faith. Of the centurion that
that's
we're
an excellent
called to.
Point.
It's always been there in the Latin text. These scriptural quotes have always been there. In this coming translation, they're more obvious. So, folks, our listeners, this scriptural annotated order of Mass that you can find on the USCCB website is so helpful. This is what we as leaders in our parishes need to do with our people. Make these connections to help them receive these texts.
Yeah, the PDF, it's footnoted throughout all of these texts, so you can see at a glance the scriptural backgrounds to all of this.
Yep.
So it's an extremely helpful resource. Just for the sake of time, just want to go through this quickly. Reception of Holy Communion continues.
No change.
There's no changes to the text. Prayer of Communion, all of those prayers have been retranslated, so the priest will notice those differences.
Mass, it's in the concluding rite.
The Mass concludes with the concluding rites, and as we were talking about with the Solemnity of Pentecost, this is the call to mission, and that's where the name of the Mass comes from, Missio. The Latin text for the concluding rites, the dismissal, is Ite Missae Est, go, you are sent, and that Missae, it means mission, Missio, which is where the name for the Mass comes from. There are four options for those dismissal texts. They do vary from the Latin. It was actually recommended in Sacramentum Caritatis, which came out in 2008.
Benedict's very first encyclical.
His first encyclical, to really emphasize the mission aspect of this Mass, which is so important. It's a call to service. The Mass doesn't, yes, it ends, but we are called to go forth to be Christ in the world. And so these texts, I think they're very beautiful.
I love them.
I do too.
I think they're beautiful.
Go forth, the Mass has ended. Go and announce the gospel of love of the Lord. Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. That's my favorite.
Mine too.
And go in peace, to which we respond, thanks be to God.
You can't miss the mission. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord. Go and glorify the Lord just by the way you live your Christian faith. go and give glory.
And remember, the liturgy calls us forth, but then calls us back. It's all circular.
It's the heart of who we are. Danielle, we did it.
We did. We finished.
I want to point out just for our listeners, next month in June, the whole show, we will be looking at...
Music.
The musical settings for the coming English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal.
We'll play samples. It'll be a fun show.
It will. Thank you for listening. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
This has been Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. We'll see you on the third Wednesday of June. Stay tuned here for more Catholic programming. God bless.